But I'm going to go to work. I got a few things to handle. I had to get a rent check for the fucking landlord.
Yeah, Seth was like, yeah, this Asian guy in a nice suit showed up.
He had his suit on for the first time in his life.
Apparently.
Our landlord is the guy who does all the piping work himself to save money. He's the type of guy that will use resin epoxy and a Lowe's bag to fix your burst pipe.
Sounds like Nick Miller off New Girl.
Never seen it.
You never seen it? No.
All the sitcoms I don't watch.
Oh.
Yeah. Action, sci-fi, historical thrillers. Like, I'm watching The Godfather of Harlem right now. Forrest Whitaker's best fucking performance I've ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only getting better. I'm only on episode 3. Like, I am hooked. It's the life around the 60s in Harlem.
Mm-hmm.
And like Cassius Clay, Malcolm X, and Bumpy Johnson. How they ran and manipulated the colored folks in Harlem at the time to suit power, religion, politics, all kinds of things. It's a crazy story. Man went to jail for 11 years, took the fall for some guineas, as they called them, which were Italian mobsters.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, got out and took his blocks back from 110th to 160th. It's intense television show. It's on Hulu. I'll give you a login.
I have Hulu. I've seen some clips of it. It looks interesting.
It's one of those where you're like, I'm never going to reach out and like try and watch this because it's just not really my forte.
Yeah.
And then I was watching Bass Reeves and I was like, you know what? It's Black History Month. I'll give it a go.
And you're like, oh,
yeah, so it was like one episode, and then I was just like, that's a stripper. You know, that's drugs. Oh, they're calling heroin douchey. And I was like, I never heard that term before. I was just like, it's black, you know? That's it. It's Black History Month, talking about heroin, doing the black. If you didn't know, I'm a recovering drug addict. Loyal to the foil. Fun little term. Welcome to During Business Hours podcast. Me and Alex are just sitting here on hump day thinking about little things to do, how we can make some more money. It's a little slow today, luckily. We're enjoying it.
Well, since I showed up, people are probably going to show up.
Yeah, it's just usually what happens. But it's been a slow week because I was sick. I was running errands on Monday, got sick Tuesday, and then had to finish my epoxy table. As we know from the last episode, I nearly murdered a cat because of it. It's pretty funny. My wife's still debating because there's dust that gets on it while it's curing. Mm-hmm. Then you have to sand it. But it's very minor because it's not the cleanest environment. I brought it into the house so that it, because of the wind and the cold last night, didn't want to deal with it curing for longer than 6 hours. And then I maintained that from a 10:30 pour till about 11:30, getting all the drips off the sides. And I probably lost like 15% of its volume because the floor in there is unlevel. So I used the self-leveling legs, got it back up to pour. But boy, those curves are so perfect. There's not a single stretch, pinhole, fisheye. There's like tiny specks on the top that you can feel of dust that fell on after it was curing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where it is like, all right, well, we can sand it to make it that matte color we were talking about. I used a couple of new techniques with foil tape to put a barrier around the edge so that I could pour it, wait for 30 minutes for it to tack on the top, pull the foil tape, and watch it go over. The continuity of the thickness, because it's a 16th to an 1/8 inch thick. It was originally an 1/8, and then when we pulled those sides, it literally just cut it in half and fold over. So I was very happy with it. It still got all of its design elements around the edges because I ended up cutting it in to make it seem like it was more of a wood live edge, because this is just an MDF table. It's a piece of MDF I cut straight down the center, glued two sheets together, a couple of screw holes, and built a fucking coffee nook out of it.
It looks very, like, nice, modern.
Dude, so I'm looking up a marble coffee table that's 40 inches tall.
Honestly, I might have to commission you for a coffee table for my office. I've been wanting a better one.
But I'd seen some on, like, Etsy that were right around $2,000.
Still $2,000?
Mm-hmm.
You could just get that in an epoxy like you did.
Exactly. And it looks
practically the same.
Yeah, $17.99. Wide coffee tables, but this is also 40 inches tall. A selling point that it's a coffee bar, so it's 40 inches tall, 24 inch depth at 72 inches long.
Mm-hmm.
So it fits in that wide wall perfectly. And boy, I'm just a religious man now. God has graced me with a gift to save that fucking paw print. You can't even tell it's there. It's gone. Finito. Blessed. So I took some CA glue, filled in those mutton hands, and then meshed it with a little white paint, and then did that full pour, and it's invisible. Nice. I can't tell it was there. That's how good it is. It's not even that you can't even see it when you're looking for it. So this morning I was like, yeah, babe, check it out, you know, everything. Because I stayed up super late to maintain those edges because I didn't want to have to sand any of the drips. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I keep hearing that this is the way. So you'd basically scrape it with a putty knife at a 45, getting all the drips off, hit it with the torch, and any strings or remnants of, like, sharp edges kind of pull together like rubber bands. So after you scrape it, even if you had a hard 90-degree line, it kind of rounds over like this. And it's like, oh, okay, now it's like a drip. But then it's not actually a drip because, you know, the material is tightening there.
Yeah.
Curing as fast as you pour it.
A little bit of torch scrape work.
Yep. And then I had repainted the underside, so any of that scraping, I just kind of did at a 45, but dragging so that it would mold or pull most of the material instead of scratching the wood. It was just kind of scraping alongside of it, so I didn't have to, like, look under and see that the paint was scraped, which was nice. And those legs, I stupidly threw on super wide instead of, like, closer together. So you can, if you put my whole body weight on it, you can see it kind of bow a little. But I'm also over 300 pounds. So if I bow it, sure, you know, 300 something pounds. Those legs will take 800 pounds a piece, though. So that was nice. There's a person at my front door. There's a person at my front. Person at my front door. Who's there?
It's another homeless guy walking by.
I don't know. Hello? How can I help you?
Some solar options?
Yeah. You know what I really like to do, and this is really fucked up?
You like to mess with?
Yeah, I will waste his fucking time forever. I am absolutely. He just cold knocked on my door. I know he's trying to make money. They're working on commission. But I will waste hours and hours and hours of his time. I will be the most interested party.
Don't you tell me all the time to go just like.
Tell him to fuck off?
No, do cold calls.
No, you. Yeah. You're a small business owner. You're not working for a major company.
Oh, trying to
sell.
Company?
Yeah, trying to sell people a scam. Those door-to-door guys like that, you're going business-to-business offering your services, a bit different.
Yeah. Estoy aquí haciendo un podcast con un amigo.
Alan, I want translation.
Estoy aquí haciendo un podcast con un amigo. Okay. Okay, tengo un paciente a las cuatro también. He was just telling me that he's going to be later at work, so I don't have to pick him up at 3:45.
Fortuitous.
Yeah, and if he does get a ride, he'll call me, and if not, he'll call me.
Yeah, so, but you are going small business, right? And, like, even if for me, I go to some of the carriers and I deal with the people and not the actual business side. I'll go to AT&T and be like, yo, I'll slip you a 20. Refer me 10 people. That's more of like greasing the wheels with a person and they benefit from it. But there's no shadiness like tell your customer they can only go through me and I'll bribe you. You know what I mean? Now these people, they're like, I'm going to tell them that we're the best and I can save them these astronomical numbers just to get them to sign that dotted line so that no matter what, we're making a payment, even if they lose their house. Oh, you're not going to pay anything up front. You're not going to get anything. You're going to get a bunch of tax credits. It's all a scam so that they can make a shit ton of money off of your interest, loaning you money on this equipment that to them is super cheap that they're going to put in haphazardly, possibly burning your fucking house down that nobody ever talks about the fires that happen for solar panels.
Oh my God.
Yeah, because just the wet connectors they never put on, or like the drilling through your roof in the wrong places, the electrical fires they cause. I hate solar panel companies. There's so many of them. I got a buddy, Matt Matsuda. Yeah, he understands. He went to real estate after his bullshit. He was like, yeah, I'm done with this. He was like their top salesman too. And he was like, you know, there's probably a less shady way that we could do this. And they were like, kick rocks, son.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's fucking rough.
So yeah, I fuck with them a lot.
Yeah. Understandable.
Like, oh, you got OG&E. I was like, yeah, I pay like $2 a day, you know, charging my car full time, 24 hours a day. It's $2. That's less than gas, you fucking chump.
What are you, from Jersey?
You're damn right. I drive a Tesla in the middle of the southwest hemisphere. I don't know what the place is. I'd be from anywhere but here dealing with these cucks. There's so many of them that are like, I think I told you the other day about the kid in the Tesla. Mm-hmm. And then he bought that Tesla. immediately somebody asked him if he wanted to buy solar. I was like, yeah, that's funny that somebody else is now asking me. Live on our podcast. We're the realest unscripted show on YouTube. Nobody is going to allow somebody to randomly call them and be recorded because it's a one-party consent state in Oklahoma, just so you know.
Or have conversations with your father about when you're going to pick him up from work.
Yeah. Funny enough, talking about kids, this morning I was violated by mine. As we know, he's 4 years old. I was touched inappropriately by my four-year-old. Oof. In a negative way. I did not feel emotionally fine afterward. It's maybe because I struck back. No, I just felt sick to my stomach because I was punched in the man parts. So I'm sitting there. I'm waking up late, you know, 4 a.m. I was up doing the table, super happy, about to jump in the shower, get my B-roll and my final outro for the video that we're making for YouTube. Mm-hmm. Sitting there, having my coffee on my phone. My son's rolling around on the ground because we took his phones away. He's not allowed to have phones or tablets anymore because he's having nightmares of these, like, scary games he saw. Yeah, my wife turned into a ghost and tried to eat him one night. He woke up just in tears. And then the next night it was like, she was a demon. So now mom's always some type of, like, creature or nun that goes, jump scares people. So no more YouTube. Miss Rachel and Bluey only. Fuck everything else. Yeah. Just, we really put a nip to it because that kid's too smart with electronics.
Right.
Like, he's at the point where he can unlock the front door. Yeah.
He can unlock the front door?
Yeah, because we have a Kivo, so the deadbolt can, he can log into the Kivo account, put in the 6-digit passcode by himself, and unlock it when he wants to go outside. That's scary. So, point being, not going to happen. He's done with it, and we're trying to get him to not have nightmares, to not try and sleep in our bed, because mm-hmm. I need sleep too. I'm a human. So I'm sitting there having my coffee. It's a beautiful day. I got everything I want to do done. I'm like on track to get the day done. It's 10 a.m. I'm very late. Okay, I slept in. And then it's like somebody reached out from hell and said, "You thought so." Just full knuckles, two giant walnuts cracked. Bam, with a fist of fury. You ever seen the Man with the Iron Fist? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was it. I felt like that man in his steel gauntlet reached out of the wood flooring of an Oklahoman house.
And just went, straight.
You thought so. And shattered my hopes and my dreams.
But that would have been a really good American Funny Home video.
It probably was, because the kid was, like, rolling around doing Power Rangers stuff and yada yada. I wasn't paying attention. And then it was, and then I just slapped him. Yeah. I hit my kids.
Instinct.
It was instinct, yeah. Yeah. It was more like, he knows, because we're trying to teach him not to, like, punch himself, because one day he was, like, punching and hitting his legs, and then he was tapping himself in the nuts. And we're like, hey, don't touch me there. That's my no-no square. Hey, don't touch me there. That's my no-no square. Unless you're like 5'6", a brunette, a genetic woman, and with a C-cup or bigger. If I was single. But I'm damaged goods at the moment, and my son was crying. So after everyone had their hot cocoa and their ice packs, I jumped in the shower, got my B-roll done. This kid was sweet as shit. So I'm going to show you the video that we shot afterwards, because he doesn't hate me forever. Mm-hmm. You know, unconditional love and all.
Right.
Hey, CJ, you want to tell everybody to like, comment, subscribe?
Yeah.
Like, comment, subscribe. Say it.
Like, comment, subscribe.
For more DIY and fun projects.
Yeah.
Trying to make up after.
Oh, yeah. He always does the whole, like, kissing your shoulder, kissing your cheek stuff. It's very feminine in that way. But I was a dumb kid, too. You know, it was either, you know, waving my junk at, like, 6 years old to everybody. Like, I should have been a child predator as a child. I would just drop trow in the middle of Walmart. Well, back then it was Longs. And I'd be like...
Or just surprised that you didn't get molested. Have you seen that... There's a clip from American Dad where they're like at a Benihana's.
No sitcoms.
Not even American Dad?
No sitcoms.
Well,
I didn't watch Fox until after I was like 12. You said American Dad, huh?
Yeah, American Dad.
What the fuck? Back to the Future, The Ride, AI upscaled full show.
A year ago?
Yeah, it's The Ride.
Oh.
They used AI to upscale everything. Okay, so what is it? American Dad?
Stan dancing at restaurant.
This is going to get a bit racist. I'm sorry.
See Perez impersonator?
Whoa! No way!
Look who escaped.
Went to the ATM, busted out my $40 quick cash. I got my comb. I'm ready to party.
My friends, I would like to make a toast. To Stan getting away from his wife for the night and me getting away from mine forever. Yep, my divorce from Sheila became final today. I'm a free man.
Yeah!
She got it all. The house, the car, even the dog. Ungrateful mutt. And I'm talking about Sheila.
I thought it was the dog you were talking about. You were talking about your ex-wife.
I know. It was a joke and I got it.
There's always these plain-faced people in these groups of men. Like this guy here. He said boop.
Yeah.
You know?
One of the guys.
Nathan, stop it.
I dance like this.
This is why you keep getting molested.
Yeah, that's
oh my god.
What are you doing to make money? What else do you make money from?
Nothing else. But I was actually gonna ask you, how do you know how to set up membership things on Square?
Yeah.
Cause I had a patient come in a couple weeks ago and they took advantage of my membership thing that I have for B12 shots, and I was
Do you have their card info?
Not anymore.
Yeah, so you're going to have them re-sign, basically, re-sign up. And this is really hard. When somebody signs up for a membership, to get them to recommit is I think it was 250% harder to sell somebody the exact same thing again because of a misstep, because there's like a barrier and trust there where it's like, oh, our system failed or whatever. It's super hard to sell somebody a gym membership the day after they use their first day of their gym membership. It was like a study done.
Oh, really?
But so if they cancel, just be prepared. Don't be upset. It's simple psychology.
I mean, it was completely on me.
I know, but yeah. It's stupid how that is.
Yeah.
I'm not very driven when it comes to making money on the things like that. I tried it. Etsy didn't really do much. You got to pay for advertising, get your name out there. And I was like, I'm good. I'm enjoying the break here. It sucks for money-wise because I have to take a two-week break to go to Sacramento next month.
You're going to go there and lock everything up?
I have to. Still haven't received a payment. So for those of you who know this grind and struggle right now, I have a business that I've sold to somebody that's not making payments on time. And it's currently the 21st of February. He has until the 28th to pay me $5,500. If he doesn't have the money today, it is physically impossible. A store that's doing $20,000 to $25,000 a month still cannot generate $5,500 in a week. So he has to have some type of windfall. He was hoping to get some type of Square loan. And I was like, that's not going to happen. Because you already have one at that address. So don't try and bullshit me that there's not one at that address. And he's like, no. They offered me to renew my loan. And I was like, but they're not going to because he denied it. So then you have to wait 90 days. And he's like, well, it was December, so it should be coming soon. And I'm like, not in 7 days, bro.
Right.
And he thinks, well, you know, if I can't do it, we'll just discuss it come the 5th next month when the next payment's due. I'm like, no, we'll figure it out. But no, he does not know that I will fly there the second, lock everything down, midday, kick him out. I'll serve him his cease, done. Something more interesting happened yesterday while I was sick. So I didn't know I was going to put this on. I got a call from a government official with the Bureau of Household Goods that my business license had expired for our Bureau of Household Goods license in California in August. And I was like, well, yeah, I quit operating in January of last year. We sold the business come May, and we notified you in May of the business owner transfer of ownership. And they were like, oh, well, that's not in the record. And I'm like, well, it's in my record, and I have the call. Let me grab it for you. So I have a set of files just from selling this business.
Mm-hmm.
Call number three that was recorded was to the Bureau of Household Goods speaking to a destiny. Huh. And so I notified her. She's like, well, when it's final or come time for your renewal, if the new business owner just renews your license under his name, there's a little form he can sign, and he's the new owner of your license at that address, and we don't have to audit or do anything. And I was like, okay, cool. I'll put it into the contract that this is what it is and what he needs to do. It was in there. It's in there. He didn't do it. Turns out he doesn't have two of the four licenses he needs. It's a $300 license for both of them. One's $195, one's $110, $305.
Does he get any, like, late fees stuff?
The fine,
yeah, fine
for not having it is, like, $485 plus a penalty of 5% per week that you don't do it. So it caps out at, like, $2,000. So we're at, like, $2,000 in fines. But when they came to him yesterday, apparently they told him they were coming by. They sent him a letter. No info for me because I'm the business owner on their record still. I didn't get a letter. He got a letter. How did he get a letter? Well, it turns out it was addressed to me. He was called and asked for me, and he told them he was the new business owner, but at no time did they connect the dots that I'm no longer the business owner somehow. And then they come there, and he's like, yeah, I just work here. Not, hey, I'm the new business owner. Pretended he was an employee for me, that I moved out of state and I don't care. So they wrote the citation on the spot to me so that he could avoid the ticket. That was the final nail in the coffin for me. I was like, I don't want to fucking help you.
Right.
And then I called him on it. He was like, no. And I was like, do you know what? Destiny records all of her interactions. Dave, technically the project chair that goes out door to door doing the things, he has to record these incidents when there's somebody or a citation. He's going to give me the audio file. Well, they didn't give it to me, but they reviewed it. And they said very clearly, he stated he was not the owner, that if he was going to buy it, it wouldn't have been in, it wasn't finalized yet, that he was in the talks with me of buying it because he's, you know, running the place for me. And I'm like, that's such a horse shit fucking excuse. Just pay your stupid fine. You did it. You refused to get the licenses because you didn't want to pay an extra $300. This is the same man who just can't buy new fucking business cards, even though they're free.
Seriously?
Check out our tip on that on a short. Business cards are always free. Yeah. So I was like, you know what? I'm done. My give a sheet. Oh, shit. I'm out of fucks.
Yeah, we're here.
Zero fucks to give. Fucks. Perfect. And so he called me. He was like, what do I do? Well, after the fucking buying and selling stolen goods very blatantly from crackheads shit last week, now this and not paying me, pack your shit. Like, if you don't want to be there, don't be there.
Mm-hmm.
Just go. Lock it up. I'll be there tomorrow. Doesn't want to do that. No, no. He's made so much payments. He's not giving it up. He's going to make it work. In my worst case scenario, he sold all the inventory already, and he's preparing for me to lock it up. Because when I gave it to him, he had about $200,000 in inventory on retail end. Wholesale, probably like $75,000. But he bought that and the business for $180,000. I got a lump sum, and I'm getting $5,000 a month for 16 months. You do the math on that. If you can't do the math on that, then I'll refer you a tutor. So we're like, I'd say payment number seven. Payment seven. Out of 10 months, he's had it because he got 2.5 months free. So he could set up, transfer, do everything. Pay his fucking licenses. Not 1 month has he paid me on time. Not one. So I've gotten a $500 late fee every month. But holy shit, it has been bad.
This man just loves to give you money.
First 2 months, he made nearly $80,000. I'd say high point, $50,000 profit in his first 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just so ecstatic. And I'm like, hey, this is summer months. This is when it's like $40,000 a month. Bang, bang, bang. It's going to go, especially with how shitty the previous employees were running it. Nobody was hustling. You're a hustler, you'll get it done. This is my faith. I don't want to stress about these things. It's only stressful when I'm like, somebody's going to burn down the thing I built, the fucking child that I'm, you know, is trying to breathe life into for the last 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I sold it to him. I'm like, yeah, I'm done. I'm stepping away. Did all the training, all the transfers. Here you go. Like, he has access to the Google and Facebook and ownership on the Google page, the Yelp page, and billing rights on the website so he can access things. But everything else, it's still in my property. It's my name, my lease. I still have the rights to the trademarks that he doesn't. I still have the rights to the copyrights. I still have the rights to the digital data that wasn't sold to him. I sold him a customer base, a location, a marketing portfolio that is that business. But he got none of what he didn't get. I'm not going to go like give the information there. There's a lot of things that are slide in that contract that are like more based towards me to protect myself in this event. Mm-hmm. The moment it's 30 days past due, 5th to 4th on March, because I'll fly out the 2nd, on the 4th, boom. I'll throw everything into storage and just sell it off, and I've still made close to 130 grand. Not bad.
Yeah.
Or there's a guy in Orangeville, Folsom now. I could just sell it to somebody else for even cheaper.
Do it all over again.
Yeah. Give me 50 grand cash. I know this guy's probably got 50 grand cash. Send me a Bitcoin. Alika, you know what I'm talking about. And that's my option. So it's a frustrating one, but it's one that I'll have to take if need be. Mm-hmm. And when I talked to the people who were doing the investigation about the license, they were like, oh, I remember you from 2016. I totally forgot this was your place. Da-da-da. And they were like, yeah, we're very put off by him. We didn't understand what was going on. And I was like, yeah, here's the contract. Here's the signature, the consigliere, all these little things that say, I'm no longer the business owner for liability reasons. This isn't on me. And they're like, okay, yeah, we'll go ahead and get that waived, but there has to be a hearing. I'm like, so now I got to go and do a Zoom call with the fucking chief of the household bureau, the two investigators, and the head of that department to tell them my case, even though I just gave them the info. So now we're wasting more time and money for what? Because you couldn't pay a $200 license? No. Because you forgot and you were scared? A business owner delegates. We don't, like, hide from it. I have a lot of money owed to two lenders that one wasn't mine, one's mine. I don't hide from them. I know I owe this money. Mm-hmm. I don't want to pay in full, so I'm manipulating the circumstances. But I will never say that I don't owe somebody something or try and skirt a bill. Like, I bought a restock, and just for reference here, Sean, G&G Glass and Glue. I should have reached out to him like 2 hours before I made this purchase, but I paid him like $850 yesterday. Needed some back glass and parts. Not OEM Apple. Some aftermarket. And I reached out to him on Facebook, and it was like 5 minutes later, I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to order it. I don't want to deal with it. I got to get called away. I needed these parts. It took probably an extra week to order them, but I didn't hassle or haggle for a discount to try and get it done to save money. Mm-hmm. Because I know on the back end, getting it done properly and taking that hit and like, oh shit, I got to get this done, I'll get taken care of. So I think it was like $890 or something. So after I texted him that, and I was like, no, I already bought it. Sorry, I'm not trying to, you know, hit you for a discount up front. He's like, no, I gave you $150 back and free shipping. I'm like, oh shit, you didn't have to do that. I appreciate it. That's why you're the man. And just do your it doesn't happen every fucking time. Not every time somebody's going to be like, oh, no, thanks for not bitching or trying to bargain for a discount. But it's just do the shit you're supposed to do, right? And there wouldn't be any repercussions. And this just killed me yesterday, especially after being sick, dealing with a bunch of bullshit. And then I went down, when I was finding this out, I went down to Schaefer's. Shout out to Schaefer's. They're doing pretty well now. They're not as busy as they would like, you know, because their store was dying. Mark, but they took my advice and started putting out all the used computers. So now they're doing computer and console repair and pre-builds. So every time I've been in there, there's a new custom computer they're building. Nice. I told them they could be that whole like Northwestern Oklahoma's top tier computer supplier. Come to our showroom at blah, 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 Oklahoma Avenue. That's what they should do. They should market it as such. Mm-hmm. And I think Mark's just kind of done with that business because originally he wanted me to rent out that business and then be Schaefer's computers.
Yeah.
Like, I'm good. I don't want to be in the computer business. I like the cell phone business because it's like, you pay me $150. I give you a $20 part. We happy. I make $130. 15 minutes later, you leave me a 1-star review. We great. Yeah, I just found out we have 47 5-star reviews, not a single 1-star.
Nice. Mm-hmm. I had a patient like a week or so ago that left a review on my Square thing, 5 stars. I've had
Square's feedback is happy or unhappy.
Well, know? they left some kind of review in stars.
Positive or negative.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, like, awesome. Now I forget to, you know, tell people to like, hey, you know, leave a review.
I tell people all the time when I don't charge them more money because then they feel like they're indebted to me for not getting charged more money. Mm-hmm. Like, here's your solution.
I have people now that say like, oh yeah, I'm going to tell my friend, and I'm going to tell my friend's friend, I'm going to tell everybody. And then, you know, I get these little spurts from whenever I see people that do that, that I get like 2-3 people come in like the same day because they're like, yeah, my friend told me about this IV thing and it really helped and all that stuff. But you were mentioning the thing about your supplies. I had that same kind of thing happen to me when I was in Florida. I was getting some supplies delivered, and the Ryan is the name of the guy that does our pharmacy supply check-ins and stuff. And he's like, hey, you know, just wondering, you haven't ordered in a while, making sure everything's okay. I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm just on contract here at Florida for FEMA stuff. He's like, oh, like, really? He's like, well, you know, like, we just really appreciate you guys that, you know, next time you order, I'm going to throw in a 10% discount and some other stuff in there for you. I was like, dude, you don't have to do that. And he's like, no, dude, like, I appreciate you. I was like, oh, well, like, thanks, man.
Yeah, that's like, suppliers don't have the biggest margins. So when they do that, it's nice. It almost seems like they give a shit. And like Sean was one of those guys that I always used to haggle with when I was like, I only got like $3,000 in the account and I don't want to spend $500 with you, but I have to. We have a couple of orders. I'm surprised at how dead it's been for the cell phone industry lately. I need to get cards over to the carriers and then buy some pizzas. But AT&T, every time they ask for lunch, it's always like Friday afternoon, 3 p.m. All the places are busy. There's no delivery. And they're like, hey, we want to order for 10 people right now. And I'm like, no. Get a couple of pizzas. Get 12 tacos, whatever. You want $300 in fucking food. Not happening, bud. Like, you don't refer me that much business. You send some charge port cleanings down, a couple of data transfers. I make like $400 a month off AT&T. But I have to do so much damage control because of them more often than I have to do anything else in the store. Well, they sold me this that I didn't need, or the fucking Betty. Oh, they told me that I wasn't going to be able to get my data. And then we got the data. And then I was like, oh, they told me I wasn't going to be able to return the phone I bought so that I could just get the data. And then you told me I could return it. I'm like, yeah, you can. They're not AT&T. Call the 1-800-AT&T number. Did you ever speak to Betty, by the way?
Not yet.
So, for clarification, I'm putting it in here. I spoke to Betty, a.k.a. Elizabeth, the tattoo artist. She came back into the store the day you were here. We had a discussion with her because, to me, she seems like a very flirtatious and attractive young woman.
Yeah, very nice.
Very nice. I am very not single. I am very married happily. I can't engage. This man should engage. If she's single and ready to mingle, which I made a joke to her about before you were there, and she is.
Oh, it's always up to have a good time.
I was like, well, you know, Alex is a bit of a flirt at the club and at the bar. And, oh, you know, I'll keep an eye out for him. I'd love to see that. You know, just all those little tips on your love life. And then you're here, and you face planted so hard.
I didn't think I was that bad.
I wish I had it on video. It was like, it was silver plattered up, and then conversation was like, yeah, that'd be kind of cool. Oh, you got new thing. Like, where's that?
I just couldn't find myself in the rhythm.
This is why you should drink alcohol all the time.
Alcoholism.
But no, it was one of those weird things where it was like, I'm trying to throw you an alley-oop. I'll be Shaq, you be Kobe.
Yeah, definitely by the, oh, I can psychologically break you down by knowing what kind of porn you watch.
I can.
And vice versa.
Oh, but you know what that opens up? That opens up a lot of conversations about her willingness to discuss certain things and where her level in comfort and comedy is. So you'll know how to talk to her in certain ways and how not to. Because some girls don't like the, well, Jesus is this and this is the world and this is very plain and simple and vanilla. Got to run?
Here in a little bit. I have a patient at 4.
All right. I thought your dad or somebody call you.
My dad about not picking up at 3:45, but I have somebody at 4.
But so it's one of those things where the way she acts, the way she talks, you can pretty much discern what she's into and men she likes. You can tell by her too. She needs somebody
that's like either a go-getter or very stern and direct. Like, you know what I mean? She wants a man's man. So I was like, just go be the man. Go bring her that six-pack of beer. So what I told...
You said either coffee or beer.
Yeah. Well, at first I was like coffee, but you were like, oh, why not beer? So I fell into it.
Thank God I did beer because I would have wasted like $20 on some coffee because I drove by her new shop place and she wasn't there. And then I...
Let's roll this back real quick.
What I want to add to this is you were like, well, you know, did you check the back? Because, you know, they can park in the back. And then yesterday while I was driving there, I was like, well, you know, like I'll go down this way and see, like, about the back area. There's, like, nowhere to park in the back.
There's an alley. There's a place you can drive through.
Yeah, but you're not going to – there's not enough.
But you have no idea if her car wasn't there, right? You just don't know.
You're not going to
– Schrodinger's
like,
cat.
There's, like, no alley because it's literally the northwest – whatever real estate, and then the Edward Jones office that's, like, right next to it. Yeah. So there's, like, no full –
not a full, like, drive-through horizontal alley, but you can get behind the building, and there's a parking lot.
Point is, I drove by, and she wasn't
But let's there. Roll back. So I made jokes about her doing demo at her shop, and I was like, hey, need help. We'll be there. You know, men, we'll get this done for you.
I know what it's like. She told me she'd have a job for me.
Exactly. So I was like, you know what? Take her fucking up on that. Go get her a coffee. Go there now. She said she was going to be there. $20 to your future grandchildren going, how did you meet? Doesn't fucking matter. Take the chance. My point being, you never know. But this man, the saddest part to me is you drove by, but you didn't even knock. Because what if her car was parked across somewhere else?
It wasn't on that street.
You saw everything. But hypothetically, Schrodinger's cat, what if she was in there? And you just didn't know. What if her dad gave her a ride? Because he was helping her. You could have met the father, brought some coffee, been that chum that was like, that's a nice guy. That seal of approval from the father is everything out here.
Unfortunately, her dad passed.
Okay, the mother. But you never know because we don't know. But I'm saying she's a nice girl. There was an opportunity there. We have no idea if she was there or not. But I'm happy that you at least tried to your degree.
99.9% sure she wasn't there. You know, I'll even go a step further. 100% sure that she wasn't there.
Because you spoke to her?
No, because she wasn't there.
Call her right now.
I don't have her number.
But I don't want to be the one to call her because I told her that I don't take phone numbers from girls that are attractive, so.
Yeah, it'd be weird.
It is.
And then it'd be weird if I called her from her phone number. She's like, how'd you get this? I was like, oh, yeah, Chris gave me your number, so.
You have her on Facebook, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, I have her on
Facebook. We'll see exactly how it pans out. I'm rooting for you. I'm shipping it. Al Betty. Betty Al.
It's such a hard, you know, like in terms of. Like
you got fake nicknames for each other. You guys like, do each other's you're tattoos.
Like, dude, she needs like a man's man.
You are a man's man. You just have not found. You have so much confidence. You just don't.
Yeah. Because
anyone else agree with this?
I'm like, perfectly comfortable in who I am.
That's all you need.
Where I'm at, like I'm also very. The other part of it is I'm also very clueless when it comes to women and then giving me signs.
So. Oh, yeah, but you don't need signs. You just need somebody to tell you this is it, go.
Yeah.
You
know? And then, I need like that, like an imaginary person red on light, my shoulder.
Red light, green light.
Yeah, just like, hey, like, it's like, hey, this is your shot. Like, go for it. Like, right now is the time. And I'm like, okay, cool. And then I'll do it.
You just need to be yourself because I think you're better than the slow talking, like, kind of there guy. You treat her like she's got a dick. I bet you would. It'd be great. As friendly and outgoing as you are, the same witty comments and jokes and the dark humor she loves. I literally tested the waters for you. Showed her a bunch of the fucking TikToks and I was like, oh, that's kind of funny. She's got your humor.
Yeah, I sent her a video of a clip of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
She reacted?
Yeah, she was like, I didn't know what the hell that was. And she was like, now I'm going to have to see what episode it was.
So now you're going to have to show her the TV show.
She's watched it. She just hasn't seen all of it. She hasn't caught up yet.
But we may have started something here. We're rooting for you. If you're rooting for Alex, let us know in the comments below. Yeah. If eventually we get Elizabeth on this podcast, you will all be shocked. It's hilarious. Girls like that in Oklahoma are outside of Woodward.
Yeah, it'd be like...
A girl that can do her makeup...
pays her own bills, drives a decent looking truck, and doesn't dress like a crack whore. Those four, not in Woodward. Those four together.
Wait, what was the vehicle thing?
Drives a nice vehicle.
Okay.
Pays her own bills, does well with her makeup, and then is established.
Wait, she was wearing makeup? Yeah. I thought she was just naturally looks like
that. No, she was dolled up that day. The day before, when I met her with a beanie, like looking like a snowboarding chick, no, she was still, like, good looking. She's established. I bet she has to have a mental disorder. There's no reason why she's here without a mental disorder. God. PTSD something.
She just always looks gorgeous.
That's not the point. There has to be a downfall. There's one. Not to say there's something wrong with you, but there's got to be something that keeps you here to a degree, or like this is your comfort zone.
Maybe it's, I guess there really is no way until like
it's. I am emotionally lockstepped with my wife, so with her wishes of moving here. I'm in Woodward.
I am perfectly comfortable with the simple things in life. So that's why I'm here. Literally, this town has everything that I need and require.
Yeah, that's why you drive out of town to get things you need or want.
I don't really.
If you could move Oklahoma City like 75 miles closer, would you?
No.
No? Japanese Wagyu.
Special occasion.
But you drive to the city to get certain things, right?
Yeah, but that's the whole fun of it. It's like doing an adventure. If it's closer, it doesn't feel that much like an experience. You know, that's why I like literally drove all the way to Bucky's just for snacks. Because I was like, I literally drove one day to Bucky's for snacks. It's not just a gas station. It's a home. And
I saw a guy take an 8-gallon pail and fill it up for $1.19 because any cup is $1.19 for refills, even non-Bucky's.
Dude, Bucky's is amazing. And literally, like, I do that not because I want it closer, but because it's an adventure. It's like, well, you know, why not do something spontaneous where I can just, you know, have time off and just go do something?
I could see that. I would definitely, next time you plan that adventure, you let me know.
It's not planned. It's just, it's spontaneous.
Well, next time you plan to do it, like you're going to do it that moment, call me.
All right.
Yeah, because I bet we get there a lot faster in my Tesla. Doing 120 down the I-40.
And we could stop by the World Casino.
Unless I get my Model 2024 refreshed. Another podcast coming soon. On time. All right, everybody, we appreciate you. Like, comment, subscribe. Any tips or tricks for this man to get a little more confidence boost in the comments below? Greatly appreciated.
Yeah, comment anything.
Just anything. What would you do? If you were in his shoes, what would you do?
And Betty, if you're watching, and we know that you're watching, hopefully by now I will already have asked you out on that day.
Yeah, this is coming out early March, so got a little bit of time.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it'll be all right. You're welcome, Betty. It's a fucking catch. You should be so thankful. We'll see you all next time on During Business Hours. What's the word I'm going to say? Stay fucking petty.